guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast, exploring the world of paranormal events through real people's accounts. In this episode, I'm speaking with a medium slash paranormal investigator. My guest for this episode is Sarah Wright, and Sarah reached out to me after coming across Paranormal Thoughts and, you know, I guess just enjoying some of the episodes. And something she didn't realize she would actually enjoy was some of the alien abduction kind of content that we touch on quite a fair bit here. And in this conversation, you're going to hear, we kind of go into some of that, even though I wasn't really expecting so much of that because, you know, she's a medium and also a working paranormal investigator. So my assumption was going to be we're going to really touch on that. But for a while there, we actually kind of speak about, I guess, the similarities between the abduction phenomena and, I guess, other sort of aspects of the paranormal. And Sarah also goes into some detail about her relation with owls as well. And obviously that is such a big topic here on Paranormal Thoughts. And, you know, I'm always excited to hear about people's experiences with that because I feel like more and more, the more I open myself up to it, people just kind of come out of the woodwork and have their stories to tell me. So Sarah is actually a local to my city as well. And I always love being able to have people on from, you know, my area as well. I think it's really cool to be able to highlight some of the great work that's going on here. Sarah offers readings as well, so you can find her on Instagram at The Gift of Knowing. I'll obviously link that in the podcast description. It's just a really fun chat, to be honest. I, once again, probably got more out of it than potentially you might, but that's just kind of the way sometimes these conversations go. But I think I really like getting to show mediums, I think, on the podcast because, and we do go into this in the conversation, but there's a lot of, I don't know, I guess, conflicting opinions depending on who you speak to about the idea of mediums and clairvoyance and everything kind of along those lines. And, you know, I guess there's a lot of different methods in order to make contact with the other side or, you know, receive messages. And Sarah's really open about that. You know, she's only in the last few years really lent into her gift. And I think all in all, this episode might just be really helpful for people who maybe are in a similar situation where, you know, you have strange phenomena that kind of seems to surround itself around you. And I don't know, just things that aren't easily explainable and maybe you try to ignore. And that's totally understandable. And I mean, if that's what you choose to do, so be it. But Sarah kind of got to the point where she wanted to, I guess, really open herself up to this gift that she has. And by the sounds of it, since doing it, it's been really beneficial for her. So thank you so much to Sarah for coming on Paranormal Thoughts and sharing her story. And with that, let's get into the episode.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Been out of the closet, as I say, as a medium. My whole life I've had interactions as a medium. For a very long time, I didn't want to talk about it openly. I came from a very strict Catholic family. So as a young girl, when I would say things, I was told that it was not good and that I had to keep it to myself or that it wasn't real or that I would just scare people and they would just say, just be silent. Growing up, I pretty much was told and taught that the things that were essentially me, I had to keep quiet and keep a secret and just pretend they weren't happening. From when I can remember my childhood, the first real memory that I can remember was when I was little, I was at my uncle's house and we were at a pool party. My mother has an extreme fear of water, so she never taught myself or my siblings to swim. So I got knocked into the pool and I drowned. I was about 5 or 6 when it happened. I remember trying to get out of the water and not being able to, taking on water, and then eventually just floating and looking at the bottom of the pool before I left my body. And then I proceeded then to have a near-death experience, as people talk about, where I saw my life flash by. And then I was going through some sort of like a tunnel or a vortex, moving through. From what I believe, because I was a very young child, it was very colourful and nice for me because I was a child at the time. Until I got to the light, I was getting closer and closer to the light. And then I could hear my name being called. I could hear my uncle calling my name. And they were at that stage performing CPR on me and yelling out my name. And then I came back coughing.
It's just incredible how many people who have these medium abilities have also had a very similar situation to yourself with the near-death experience. Yeah. Like, it just seems to go hand in hand, doesn't it?
It does. And then, you know, as a young child, I would go to the library and I would read all the books I could possibly read because I couldn't ask the people around me what was going on. So I started reading books on the occult. And so I was like a really young kid reading these books. And what I found from a young age was that people like me started having a stronger occurrence of these sorts of things after a near-death experience. So I knew from a young age that it definitely had to be because I had crossed over and come back. But I also then found out as I became older and had more contact with the other side of my family, my father's side, that every firstborn female on his side had a thing that they called the knowing, which is what my Instagram page is the knowing. So all of the females from my father's side that are the firstborn all have the gift of the knowing, they call it. So that was quite interesting. I was able to then talk to some of my relatives. By that stage, they were in their 70s and 80s at that time. And they were telling me the stories, you know, 4 generations back that had been passed down about women that were the firstborn with these gifts. So I sort of believe with me, it was a bit of a mix of obviously having it in my genetics and then also having the near-death experience. When I was younger, I tried to push it down and squash it. And with a lot of mediums that I've now know or books that I've read, pretty much most people that identify as mediums have always come from some sort of background of trauma or have in their young adult life tried to push down their gifts by drinking or doing other things that kind of make you quite numb. So my background as a young woman, I did that quite a lot until... a few years ago, my father passed away, and that was when I completely decided to embrace it. He came through after he passed, and that was, to me, that was my, okay, I can't not do this anymore. I need to completely embrace it. I need to come out of the closet, per se, to my quite strict Catholic family, and I need to be really out and open about this. So I ended up becoming open for business to do readings for people. So I do that on the side. And then I also found myself, crazily enough, working at Woodlands, the mansion of Marburg.
It's incredible to hear your upbringing with this gift. And I think it's really interesting that you refer to it as like you're coming out of the closet, per se, because it's literally such a difficult thing.
Absolutely. So frightening for me. It was the biggest. And when I did come out and I started writing about it and I started being open and I started, I've been in newspaper articles since and things like that. My family have been ashamed and they've been embarrassed and they've been very open about the fact that it's embarrassing. So it's quite, for me, saying out of the closet, but it was like, so I had to hide my identity for all these years. And then when I finally step into my full identity, I lost half a side of a family.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, but it's very unfortunate, isn't it? When, for you to be your true self, that's the sort of the steps that have to, kind of come along with it. I speak to so many people doing the podcast who, come from a lot of different walks of life, but typically have, very strange happenings that happen to them. And a lot of the time, they don't have anyone to turn to. And it's because that's that fear of being ridiculed. And I guess, just having people turn, their backs on you. And it's such a, I guess it's the saddest kind of element apart that, you know, I've really just seen happen time and time again with having conversations like this with people is that they are too afraid to speak out. And, you know, I guess what we're doing here right now, having this conversation, I hope that it sort of is helping just that little bit to, you know, kind of normalize this kind of phenomena, because, you know, it does happen to quite a number of us. And, you know, I really applaud you for being able to speak out about it, and, you know, and kind of just embrace that, you know, this is who you are, and it's, you know, I guess it's your sort of journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's what we've all signed up to, some particular journey, and a lot of us have signed up to quite a hard journey this time around. But it's all for a reason. It's all for a higher, greater reason, which is, I strongly believe that. That is something that it's just a core built-in strong knowing now, especially since working with spirit, that our souls knew what they were signing up for. And some of us, they definitely signed up for a lot in one hit. Everything that happens now, I see it for what it is, and I just take it on board and go, okay, cool. So what am I going to do now? What way will I move? It's more of a not being worried any longer and just going with what life is bringing forth. And standing in myself as my true self is something quite, it's like liberating. It's great. I actually feel like for the first time, I can say the last 3 years, I'm actually living. I'm me. I'm actually living, you know. So yeah, hopefully other people, they can be listening, they can actually hear it and think, okay, it's not just me, I'm not crazy. There's other people out here that have had the same experience. Because for a very long time, that was what I was told. I was always told that I was crazy. So much to the point that I went to a psychologist to go and figure out what was actually wrong with me. And there was nothing wrong with me. So nothing that she could clinically diagnose me with anyway.
Yeah, no, 100%. I hope people can kind of hear the message that you're bringing to us here today, because I think it's extremely important. I'd love to hear some more about, I guess, you coming out of that sort of dark time, you know, then losing your father and then making that connection with him on the other side. What was that like, and what exactly took place at that time?
He had cancer. He fought it, he beat it. And then there was a photo that one of my relatives took when he was in supposed remission. And beside the photo, I could clearly see a spirit beside him. And at that point in time, I knew that the cancer would return. Sure enough, a couple months later, it had returned. And I knew then and there that he would pass from it. I know that now I know that he also knew. He did fight it hard again, but he also knew he was going to go this time around. Towards the end of his life, when he was in palliative care, I said to him, you knew this was coming back, but you still chose to fight. And he just nodded. And it was just, it's just such a truthful, brutal, strong moment to feel. So when he did pass that night, so he was living in New Zealand when he passed, and I had just come back from saying my goodbyes to him. And 2 days later, I was sitting in my room and the wind went still. At that moment in time, I was living up in Toowoomba and it was quite cold. The wind went still and it was almost like the air in my room stood still, to try and explain it. And it was almost like time just halted for a second for me. And I just sat in bed and I knew that he had passed. I could feel that he had passed. And then my phone rang and it was my stepmother calling me to tell me that he had just passed. And then he was his spirit. Sometimes when I see spirit, when I have interactions with spirit, I see them. With my father this time, I couldn't visually see him, but I could feel him and smell him, and I knew his vibration of him, if that makes sense. I could feel him come into my room and say a few things, just a few messages. Some of the messages quite personal, but one of the messages was that he was okay and that he was sorry that he didn't get longer to fix the things that he should have fixed. And then after that, he left. I knew his spirit had gone on, not passed over, but gone on to others. When I went back to New Zealand for his funeral, I got to my brother's house and stayed at my brother's house the night before. And I could feel my dad quite close by to everybody. Over there, the custom that we have when someone passes is there, the coffin stays in the family home with the person for the week before their burial. So my father was at his house, our family farm, and he was laid out in his coffin in one of the lounge rooms. So we'd been over there, all the family has dinner with them, they spend time. That night we'd been over there, we'd come back to my brother's house, and I woke up, I wasn't dreaming, I was awake, but it was just a strange kind of dreamlike state. And I was standing in my brother's house, and my father, who was a mechanical engineer, was standing near a bookcase holding an engine, right? And the engine was shaking, and then it was making so much noise that my brother came into the room. This was in my state, like a vision. My brother saw my father happy, smiling, staying there with the engine. And then my brother and I hugged each other because we were so happy that he was okay and happy and back to his youthful self. And then the message was just that everything's going to be fine. The next day when I woke up and told my brother, this is what's happened. He's come through. He's shown us together. He's shown us caring for each other and everything's going to be fine. It was almost like a release and just a happiness that had come through. With him passing, letting me know. And we'd always talked about it quite openly, my father and I, about spirit. He used to astral travel all the time as well. So he was quite open about it with me when we would talk. And he always said that when he would pass, he would make sure I knew that everything was fine and he would come through to me, which he did, as he said he would. So for me, it was almost like, okay, he was fine with it. So why am I not fine with it? And he was okay with it. And he encouraged me always to talk about and be open with it. And he always was, and he didn't care if anybody thought he was crazy. He loved telling people the stories about when he would astral travel or the things that he would know or see about certain things in the world. So I think it was more of a turning point, knowing that we're all going to pass away. Life is precious and you need to embrace every minute. And, you know, what is the point of living this life and not living in it completely? Yeah. So that was my turning point with that. It was quite powerful. I've worked with a lot of people when they've been, when their relatives have passed over. I also worked in palliative care for a very long time. So I worked with a lot of people when they were passing over. But it's when it's someone close by to you and is that, you know, that parent, that connection, that you realize, oh my gosh, life on this plane is so short. Like, I really need to live every single moment to its fullest.
No, most definitely. I think that's such a great gift that your father was able to pass on to you as well when it was his time to go. Just the fact, you know, you've been able to really embrace who you are now. I think that's such a cool thing to kind of take away from, obviously, that very sad moment in your life, you know, losing a parent. But,
yeah,
you know, it's
it is. I often say to people, it's a funny thing when you know about the afterlife and you see people in the afterlife and you understand things that other people just couldn't fathom. You're sad that you lose them because you can't physically feel them or be with them like you were here. But it's also not sad because you know it's not the end. Like once you work with spirit and you've been over that side, You just know it's a process. It's the next process. And then so many times my father, who has now reincarnated already, his spirit will still come through in other ways. And it's kind of hard to explain to people, but it is also such a beautiful thing that I get to have a little bit of a window into, just because someone passes away, it's not the end. And life isn't finished, and it isn't just in this little box that we all think it is. It's so much bigger than that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
That's always been my kind of, I guess, stance with it all as well, you know, is that thing of when it does come out time that, you know, you sort of do, you leave these like almost like the, like footprints in the sand or something where it's sort of, you know, it's kind of there to an extent, but maybe not as much as, you know, like as you said, like your father being reincarnated, but there's still, you know, sort of an essence of his previous kind of spirit and so on. I think that's like a really, I love all of that. You know, that sort of that this phenomenon, you know, as you said there, it is hard for people to sort of wrap their heads around it. But I think we all kind of know it to some extent anyway, that is, you know, and it's quite a comforting thing, of course, you know, knowing that there is more to life. And as you said too, you know, I guess, you know, a soul sort of knowing what it's getting itself into before that sort of reincarnation, you know, it's like things are somewhat planned out for us as well. You know, I think that's often like a comforting thing to know that, you know, we are sort of on a journey, and even when it kind of feels like everything's kind of out of your control, to some extent it is for some amount of reason, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I find that so comforting. And I find when you communicate that to people, it does comfort them. It comforts them on such a deep level when they need to hear that. When people have come to me for readings and they do need to hear that, for all different reasons at different points in their life, absolutely does. Even when I talk about things, though, there are a lot of things that even I'm still learning so many things. I think even as an old woman, I will still be learning something new or figuring something new out, because the depth and the amount of things that we will probably never know this lifetime, it's huge. There are so many things out there in the world. When I started listening to your podcast, which was a year ago, I found your podcast, for instance, I didn't even think much about extraterrestrial life forms, right? I never really even thought about it. And then I started listening to your podcast. It was almost like there was a couple of episodes that you had that was talking about ETs and encounters. And I kind of went over them because I was like, oh, no, I don't want to listen to that. And it was almost like I had this little inbuilt fear, to be honest, when I look back on it now. And then I just happened to be going for a long drive, and one episode finished and it jumped straight onto an encounter experience that you had. Can't remember the name of the person. It was quite a while back. And it was talking about the owl phenomena. And it was like a light bulb moment just clicked. And I had all of these flashes back over different periods of my childhood, early adulthood, and all of these interactions with owls, and realizing, and I always would say to people, I feel like the owls are one of my spirit animals, because I've always had so many encounters with owls. And then I heard that and I just went, whoa. And then I sat back and I thought about it, and I thought, well, how silly would I be to think that I wouldn't have had interactions with other beings on this realm, given what I do and what I can do and what my soul has already been through. I thought, how silly would I have been not to even have thought about that? The more I sit with it, the more I realize over the years, and as a child seeing lights in the sky one year around Christmas time and thinking it was Santa Claus on a sleigh because of the way the lights were in the sky, I was told that it I mustn't have seen anything, but I remember such a prominent memory in my mind of seeing these lights going through the sky in a big stripe, but going quite fast, like a sleigh going across the sky. And then having so many periods of time where I would have owls either right outside my window as a child up in the trees, or where I would be going through bushwalks and there would be owls in the middle of the day. Or there was another time I was in the snow and I was driving past and there was this beautiful owl sitting on a fence in the snow just looking straight at me. And there's been a lot of interactions with owls my whole life. So the more I listen to your podcasts now, the more I'm opening up to that and thinking, oh, wow, I wonder what there is now to, you know, what path now I can go down and have a look into those areas. To be honest, I actually have a feeling that I've had interactions. I don't know if it's like right to call them ETs, but I've obviously had interactions but have thought that it was spirit interactions, sometimes light beings. It's pretty hard to, you can't actually see them because they're light beings. But the more I've listened to now and heard of people's encounters, I do think that those light beings may actually be extraterrestrial as well.
Yeah. It is pretty interesting, like, hearing what you're saying right now, just about the idea of, I guess, never even comprehending this phenomenon being relevant to you at all. But then when you kind of get, I guess, yeah, once you sort of do open yourself up to it, it's amazing that obviously it didn't show itself the way that you might typically assume, you know, like what alien abduction is. And that's what I've learned over the last 7 years, is that this phenomena is so broad and shows itself in so many ways. Like, when I came across the concept of owls and synchronicity with abduction, that's when I really could, not even at that particular time, I didn't realize that I was at all associated with any of it. But all of a sudden, you know, you do some research or you start to speak with people, and it's amazing how often that particular aspect shows itself when it comes to abduction. And it's, who would have ever thought that all these weird kind of experiences that people have with, you know, owls or what kind of have you, synchronicity being a big one, can all kind of point to the same thing of alien abduction? Because I'm assuming by the sounds of it, you didn't even think that was a thing. And, you know, I was kind of the same originally. And it's amazing how much you can then kind of apply the phenomena to yourself when you know that it doesn't, you know, you don't have to necessarily, you know, see a typical UFO in the sky to be like, oh yeah, I must have had an experience. You know, there's so many other facets of things. You know, I just spoke to someone recently who, you know, had screen memories of like really strange things as a kid, you know, like seeing their toys and so on, you know, being life-sized. And that's a typical thing of beings, you know, masking themselves as kind of familiar items to yourself. And, you know, so there's so many different aspects to the ET kind of phenomena. So it's interesting that you're able to kind of come across, I guess, some of the stuff we've spoken about here on the podcast and then been able to see yourself in some of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And everything always happens for a reason. Anything that you encounter, anything that you have an experience with is happening for a reason. And now that I know what to look for and what to, you know, there are no coincidences. It's all for a reason. So, yeah, when I started listening to that and I thought, right, okay, this is interesting, this is amazing. And then I started to think back, I thought, well, there's been so many times throughout my life where I've had personal experiences with otherworldly phenomena. So it makes sense. So as soon as I started listening to it, I thought, oh, it just makes sense that I've already had some sort of experiences or contacts that I probably don't even know the depths of right now. It's quite interesting. I grew up and spent a lot of time, and when I was listening to your podcast too, you had the Yowie Hunter on at the very start. And it's so funny how I started listening to your podcast and so many of the people that you were talking to, and so many connections to my life. It was just so strange. I grew up out the back in the scenic rim, so where most of these, and Tambourine Mountain, where most of these Yowie encounters have happened. And when they talk about it, there's been a lot of times as a young child, a young woman, where I've been out walking in the bushes and I've had my animals with me, or I used to walk up through the water streams off the tracks and where I've had interactions where I've felt like something is there. And as a person who is able to feel different energy changes within the environment on a psychic level, I've known that there's something there with me that isn't the vibration of what other humans vibrate at. So that's one of the things I'm able to do, is I can tap into different vibrations of people. So when I've been out there in the forest, I have definitely picked up on very, very different energy vibrations to everything else I've ever encountered. And so when it was very interesting listening to these Yowie hunters and hearing what they had to say. And I also find it interesting that a lot of the places where these Yowies are turning up are places that are quite ancient and volcanic. And as we know, the minerals and different types of rock are able to emit frequencies that others aren't. So if something was to be able to travel between time and space, right, through portals, those environments would definitely be locations that they would be able to. They'd be able to manipulate the energy in order for them to cause a rift and to get through, which is what I feel that extraterrestrials are able to utilize very, very well as well.
No, definitely, especially when, you know, another big hotspot would be the Blue Mountains down in New South Wales, and the amount of Yowies and UFO sightings all throughout the mountains. You know, it does seem like, as you said, you know, no such thing as coincidence per se. You know, I feel like some of these areas do hold, quite a symbolic thing too, with the, you know, ancient Indigenous Australians as well as, you know, I guess those sort of mineral type properties as well. You know, I think there's definitely reason for these hotspot sort of locations.
This morning when I was driving to work, I was listening to your newest podcast episode, and I straight away had this deja vu, and I remembered my dream that I had last night. You just reminded me. I was dreaming about owls last night before our conversation tonight. So I was like, I wonder if that's something that I need to tell you or something for some reason. Yeah. So it was, I was caring for infant, like baby owls. So just random, who knows, but yeah.
I'm sure it's relevant. It's not surprising.
Synchronicities.
Yeah, it's constantly with people, and like, it's weird. I was talking to like my wife about this. I did an episode. It's the last episode I put out last year, in 2023, and I talked about this most recent owl sighting, interaction that I had, and then I sort of really reflected on how many other people I've spoken to who have had similar kind of happenings after listening to the podcast or speaking with myself. And it's this weird thing where if I think about it for too long, you know, you kind of get a bit spun out. But the amount of people who have these interactions with these birds, you know, or whatever is showing itself as these birds, which is directly related to myself, it's just insane, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, because it's like, you know, there could be a lot of different reasons, you know, am I sort of like manifesting it or what kind of have, you know, for all these people to sort of be telling me these stories. But it's you can ponder it for hours, but it doesn't really do me any good. But it's just that thing of, I put it out of my mind, but then when I reflect on it again, it's like, I don't know how I've ended up in being that sort of in that position for these people, you know, to kind of have all these similar stories and to all kind of somehow cross paths at some point to kind of hear their experiences. And I don't know, it's weird, but it's totally from doing the podcast, you know. I've always kind of felt like there was a greater sense of urgency to do it, and it's kind of why it's still continue to do it, you know. It's there's something more than just me wanting to happily do it, you know. There's always been this other element at play, you know, so it's weird to reflect on that, and it's very bizarre.
I feel like, from my own self ponderings, I feel like this life that we're living in now is full of a lot of communicators of all different walks of the world. communicators in all different aspects coming out or being born into this time period for this reason with their skill of being a communicator. And I feel like they've all got their different platforms where they're bringing everybody through communication and connecting people. If that makes sense to you. I mean, you can have your job. I always call it like your muggle job. You can have your muggle job. You can be doing this, you can be doing that. But the core reason that you were put here in this time, in this place, for this reason, you will go on that path no matter what. You will not be pushed off that path because that path is for you. And it'll come in the ways that you never would have expected, but it will be there. If that makes sense for you. So I do believe, and I've come across a lot of people, their life path is a communicator and their skill, if that makes sense. For me, it wasn't until recent years that I realized I have done a lot of weird and wonderful things. One of the things I did was I did a past life regression session, and I also did I've done quite a few healing sessions where I've had healers come and work on me. And with those, I've had lots of visions. One that was a year ago was the vision of myself standing in a beautiful sort of like a rainforest water location. And I looked down on myself and I could see these massive wings. And the first thought I thought when I was looking at myself, which it also I knew it was myself, but it wasn't physically myself, if that makes sense. I looked down and thought, oh, I'm a fairy. I'm fae. And then I had a voice come through the right side of me, which is where my information comes through, is the right side of me, saying, no, you are one of me. And then I was like, one of me? Who am I talking to? And then I heard Gabriel come through loud and clear. And I straight away knew it was Archangel Gabriel. I always thought that my path was to be a healer, was to be a nurse, was to go and heal people. So I thought that I didn't ever think. And so when I had this message come through and it was telling me that I was one of Gabriel, I had to sit with it for a long time after that. And as with a lot of healings, the more you sit with things, the more you meditate, the more information that comes through. Or you could just be doing normal run-of-the-mill things and information will come through. When I started to do more research on Archangel Gabriel, the archetype, I found that his flower, you know how angels all have their own icons or in flowers and things like that. So Gabriel's is a lily. So my whole life I've been drawn to lilies. When I was young, my nickname was Lily. And when I was a young woman, I had a lily put on my wrist, a tattoo. And funny enough, my tattoo was put on my right hand on the right side of my body, obviously, the lily. And so when I saw that and I went, oh, wow. Before I even knew what I knew now, I had already done things and had things put onto me in the same context. So I found that quite interesting how all those sort of things interconnected. And then Archangel Gabriel is the Archangel of communication. With things like, say, with you doing the podcast, it's just there's so many people that are coming forth with all these different lines of communication. And I also think like extraterrestrial experience as well. The people that are able to come out now and talk about it and communicate once again, there's so much communication in this life, in this lifetime right now that it's coming through and it's changing things on a very, very big level energetically within the world. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I love hearing that because that you've kind of put it in such a, yeah, once again, kind of going back to that sort of comforting thing of, you know, being one of the communicators and, you know, I guess just having someone like yourself just reaffirm that, yeah, like we are here for different reasons and, you know, this is potentially sort of, you know, quite a big part of my existence, you know, and it's just kind of weird how it all kind of comes about and, you know, yeah. As I always say to people, like, you know, you kind of sound like a bit of a dick being like, oh, you know, there's this like greater purpose or something. And I'm kind of feel like I'm trying to do this thing, but it's this weird thing of, it's just this like knowing, which is what I've been really trying to tap into the last little while. And that's kind of why the podcast has really taken the direction it's gone where, you know, I'm not really that interested in speaking with big sort of named researchers or filmmakers and authors so much, you know, because they've always kind of had a platform or they've, you know, created one for themselves where there's all this these other people, or, you know, even just like stories that I have to share, where, you know, there's less sort of opportunity for a voice, you know. So I feel like that's kind of the more important thing for myself anyway. That's definitely not a dig at anyone else creating content with all of that, of course.
I agree. I see exactly what you're saying. I think that's what drawn me to start listening to your podcast, was because I was like, wow, here's this guy. It's grassroots level. It's everyday people. It's people just like me. And it's on the same level. And and that's where the beauty of the communication comes through, because it's an easy platform to listen and really properly listen, because it's so relatable.
I'm glad to hear that. I'd love to go back to, so you decide that you want to really lean into your gift and you'd like to start offering readings to people. What was that process like? Did you have to, I guess, do some learning yourself about what that actually entails? Because I'm assuming that every reading must be somewhat pretty different depending on that person, you know. Like, how does that process kind of come about?
So it was a lot of back and forth for a long time. I had been to a lot of well-known readers, and I had made friends with a lot of well-known readers who had always encouraged me, but they always knew that I wasn't ready. And I used to say to them, I'm not ready yet, but when I'm ready, I'll do it. And I used to always say to them, I don't know what to do because I'm not the same as you. So I've got friends that are tarot readers, astrologists, a medium, this is what they identify as. And I couldn't quite put myself in a box. And that was the biggest thing I struggled with, was trying to put myself in a box, to label myself, and then write about what I did with my readings. So I struggled with that for quite a long time, back and forth. But pretty much once I was like, right, I just need to put it out there. I need to do up my website, and I need to say, what I do is I am a medium, I'm clairvoyant, I'm clairsentient. I write about everything that I do in my background. And I say I'm pretty much all of the above. It really depends on what I call source. A lot of people will say God, say Jesus, say spirit. I use source. It depends on what source needs me to experience, to communicate to the person that I'm reading for at the time, if that makes sense. So most of the time, what I'm actually doing, from what I now know, I'm actually channeling. So I'm connecting. I go a little bit out of my body, but I'm still in my body. I go off to the right side, and then I'm able to connect in with source voice, okay? And source voice will tell me, or they will make me feel, or they'll make me smell, or they'll make me see. There's all of the above. Sometimes I've even tasted weird and wonderful things to be able to then communicate to the person that I'm doing the reading for. It's almost like playing a game of charades on the phone, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's always different. So I do use I use oracle cards, but I never do I don't do a set out. I don't do tarot readings. I'm not a tarot reader. I have a couple of cards that I will shuffle, and most of the time the ones that the people need to see in front of them will drop out, and I'll put them down. And then it's almost like it turns a switch on, and then I'm able to connect in with source. And my guides are then telling me the information that I need to give to that person. Most of the time after the reading, I won't remember everything that I've told that person. So I have people coming back to me 6 months later saying, you know, to the date what you said, even though it was so unbelievable, it happened. And I'll go, oh, great, what was it? Because I don't remember. I don't retain the things that I tell the people. So I started off with putting up my website, and then I had people straight away or, you know, on Facebook or on Instagram as well. I had people messaging me, friends of mine that knew me. If someone was looking for someone, they, you know, referred them. So basically, yeah, that's how it went, and it still goes. I still work a normal everyday job. I don't think I would ever be able to be a full-time reader, as it takes a lot out of you, especially with me. I've also done my Reiki practitioner's level. So I'm up to level two with that. I sat for my Reiki attunement, basically, so that way I was able to put a name to something that I've always done, so people would feel more at ease. If you say I'm a Reiki practitioner, I'm an energy worker, they seem to be more comfortable with that rather than me saying I can tune into your energy, into your body zone, and I can pick up certain things that are not right within your body, and I can do it over the phone. I can do it from a distance. You don't need to be with me. Yeah, so things like that. So I do those sorts of things as well. So today I say that I am a medium. I'm a psychic medium, but I still don't actually know what box to put myself in completely. I don't think I ever will.
I like that you're very honest and upfront about that you're still learning and you'll be forever learning by the sounds of it, you know.
Forever learning.
Yeah, because I think that might be something that puts off maybe more non-believers or maybe kind of skeptics, is I guess when, you know, someone claims to be a medium or clairvoyant and they're so kind of sure on themselves, and then I guess when maybe information comes through that is maybe not as relevant to that person as they might think it is, I guess it kind of puts them off, that, you know, this person kind of comes across as like the be all and end all, you know, they are the connection to the other side. But, you know, someone like yourself just being like, well, you know, this is just a gift that I have, and you're just trying to make sense of what it actually is, you know, that you don't fully grasp, because it's so, like, you know, it's the same thing as, you know, the abduction phenomena and really kind of anything I talk about on here. I think this stuff is unknown because we're not really meant to know the answers. You know, it's far more advanced than typically what our, you know, lizard brain can kind of understand. Typically, you know, it's okay. there's reasons why we, you know, you don't get the full picture all the time, you know, because it's, as you kind of said when we first started speaking, you know, we're all on this kind of journey, you know, you got to actually kind of work through it and kind of find those answers kind of throughout. But I know like a lot of skeptics will listen to me say that and just go, well, that's just because I can't prove it or anything like that, you know. But at the end of the day, like, I'm never trying to convince those people. But definitely more and more I'm finding that, yeah, sort of mediums, clairvoyance, you know, whatever you kind of whatever they identify as, kind of get a bit of a shit end of the stick, to be honest, you know, with a lot of people sort of disproving with cold reading and, you know, a lot of different, I guess, almost kind of parlor tricks in a sense, you know. Yeah. And of course, there has been those people and still would be those people, but it's just one of those interesting things that, you know, not everyone is like that. And especially I think a lot of people would appreciate just yourself being so open with that, you're still kind of figuring it out, you know, like you have these skills and these tools, but it's, you know, you're kind of just working through it as it kind of goes, you know. It's just not as straightforward as ideally people would, you know, would like it to be.
Yeah, it's absolutely, and it's never straightforward. It's always so multifaceted. It's crazy. And when you completely sit with it and you start to really open up to everything, so many other things just open up. I've met people over the years when I went to mediums and I went to psychics because I was like, right, I want to know, and you guys are going to help me because you're on a similar level, and I know that you'll know things that you can help me along the way. And I did. I've met a lot of people that, you know, like you had just explained, where some of them just get really, really caught up in a certain area. But that's, I guess, that's their life, that's their journey, that's them. I really struggled with feeling like, oh, you know, I don't have it all together. I'm not this, I'm not that. I can't come to you and say I'm this or I'm that, and I'm probably not good enough then, and maybe I should just close off and not, you know, do this, and I'm probably not good enough. And then I had a beautiful woman say to me, you just need to be you, and as long as you're coming from an area of complete love and light and no ill intent, then nothing that you can say or tell a person or help a person with will ever be bad or not good enough. So that was something that I really struggled with. It just made me think of when you were talking. But completely, there is a lot of people out there that I know that I've met over the years that are just like me, where they go, I don't really know where I sit, so I'm just going to quietly sit here and just be quiet over here. But I really love people to be able to be more comfortable to come out and say, hey, I don't really know what this is. I don't really know where I sit, but let's talk about it. Let's be open about it. It's quite beautiful now with what I've experienced that I can, you know, I can come out and and talk about, and the things that spirit will gift me with my communication to people, and how much it can turn people's lives around. It can give them closure. It can give them. I love the saying, and I believe in it so deeply, that where there's hope, there's life. Where there's hope, there's a chance. Where someone still has a tiny little bit of hope and a belief that everything's going to be fine, or something's going to be this, or something's going to be that, there's a chance. You know, there's been so many times in my life growing up where I felt helpless, or I felt like nothing's going to go forward, everything's just come to a crashing halt. But it's just that little bit of hope that someone else has given me along the way that's just said, just keep going, or move forward, or better things are coming, this too shall pass. So it's what you can communicate to a person on a level that you'll never even know, because it's just coming through to you and you don't really understand it 100%. But when it hits that person, what I actually see their body do with their aura or their energy field, what I can actually see it impacting in them, it's pretty hard to describe it. It's so powerful. It will move me to tears to see it and feel it in the same process. So for me, now that I've really sunk into what I've been honored and gifted with and been able to do, it is that I'm being, this lifetime I was to have been of service, and to be of service as a communicator to me is such a huge privilege. So now it's more like I've stepped into not being embarrassed anymore, but wearing it as, oh my gosh, how lucky am I that I was gifted this to help people. So that's where I come from now. It's kind of, I've shifted into, yeah.
That's great. That's awesome to hear that, yeah, you can really feel happy being the person you are, you know, and having the gift that you have. You know, I think that's so great to hear.
I mean, it's not all rainbows and sunshine.
No, of course.
But sometimes there's a lot of things when I get told things and I go, oh, really? Why can't I just be like everybody else that's completely oblivious? Why can't you just let me be one of those for today? Thanks. Yeah. it definitely does have its downtimes, but it has its perks more than not.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Is there something that's come through in a reading that really stands out to you? You know, maybe you were able to pass on a message to someone that really meant a lot, or just when you think about, you know, everyone you've sort of spoken to, is there one thing that always kind of comes like front of mind where it's like, whoa, that was kind of insane that I was able to be, you know, I guess the conduit to give that person that message or that closure or anything like that?
So there's been a few readings where I have done where I have picked up on, say a person that was very suicidal, right? And the way that the reading has gone after that, and then have that person come back and say that that's the way they were going, and then things turned around. To me, that is really, and it's just talking about now, puts goosebumps all through me, because it's just, yeah, to be able to give work and help and help push that person along is amazing. What's another one? Where I've been able to give people insight to things that are about to happen that is going to change every part of their lives as they know it. But then you give them that information because you can see it coming, the disbelief is there, but then they have that in the back where they go, I remember this. This said this was going to happen. Everything's going to be fine. There's going to be an after of this.
Yeah.
That to me, that and that's the feedback I've had given back to me. So I guess those are the areas where it's been, and it's those areas where I go, no matter what bad comes with this, it's those things that would keep you going. Yeah, there's been other areas. So I work now with doing house clearings, going into houses, educating families, doing energy clearings within the houses, going into houses and finding out what is in the house, how to work with it, how to get rid of it. Do you know what? Most of the time it comes down to educating the families that are living there about the things that they can do to work better with the entity that is in the home, or having the information about the entity or the spirit, whatever you'd like to call it, that is in the home with them. And I feel like where there is knowledge is power. So when these people are able to understand, the fear leaves. And most of the time, once fear leaves, anything that was bad that was happening usually goes as well. So that's another area. And it's through education about the spirit world. I love the education that I'm able to give through what I can see and feel to people that helps them along the way. That's another thing as well. I feel like I just got off tangent then, sorry.
No, 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 that's great. It definitely sounds like you're making quite an impact for a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. You know, like who would ever had assumed that you would have come across someone who, you know, was maybe thinking about taking their own life, and then, you know, I guess to pass on information that came through you, and then it's kind of completely turned their life around, you know, like it's... That sort
Absolutely.
Of stuff is, you know, that will stick with you forever, you know, just to know that so those little moments, you know, like it might just be, maybe it just kind of felt like another reading, but in a sense it's like, well, like, sometimes, yeah, what you're actually doing for the other person is like, you could never even comprehend like how insane that kind of was for them, you know, how big of a moment.
How big of a moment, yeah.
I'd love to hear a little bit about the tours that you run at the Woodlands of Marburg. Like, tell us a little bit about that as well, because obviously, you know, you being a working medium, but then you're also doing these tours out at a haunted location as well. Like, I'd love to hear some more about that particular spot. You know, what's the history of that, and I guess how you sort of fit in over there.
Yeah. So Woodlands of Marburg, which is a mansion on top of a hill just out of Ipswich on the way to Toowoomba on the freeway. So it is an old house that was built by a timber merchant back in 1891. The house was completed. So I went there a couple of years ago to look at it for a wedding venue. And I went there with my now husband to stay the night. I'd never been to this place. I'd driven past it a heap of times, but I'd never actually been there. When I stepped foot out of the car, I started doing my weird stuff that my husband calls it, my weird stuff, where I started telling him about the whole history of the place because, you know, right in front of my eyes, I was being given a heap of information, a heap of visuals. I was seeing all sorts of different spirits from different timelines. It was really, really cool. And that location was one of the first locations since being very much standing within my gifts that it was almost like the electricity coming out of the place and the spirits and how open they were to communicate with me was just something I've never experienced before. Funnily enough, that night we had dinner in the mansion, and then there was a spot that became available for us to go on a history tour of the place with the current director. Anyways, I got talking to the director after the tour, and I told him about a few things I'd seen around the property, and he was quite impressed. And then next minute we started talking, and then he said, oh, I was looking for someone to take over the tours and maybe go into more of the paranormal tours. And then I ended up coming up with this product, which is the paranormal immersive tours at Woodlands. So basically it is that we go for a walk around the venue, I tell you the history, and then we spend time in locations where people would like to. It's up to them, whether it be the house or the different locations around the ground, where I tap in with my gifts as a medium and also use technology that people would have seen on shows like paranormal investigation shows that are all on the Netflix, YouTube, I think like Ghost Adventures, people like that. They use all the same sort of technology. So the technology came after it. I was taught by paranormal investigators how to use the technology, what it did. And I was really, really stoked to find that as a medium and using technology on my tours, it's so cool because I will be giving the tours and talking about the historical stories within the mansion or the grounds, and the paranormal tech, which spirit boxes, things like that, will start talking with me and talking to me and back and forth, and to people to actually experience that at the same time. It blows a lot of people's minds. It's a very one-of-a-kind experience, they say, that they've ever had at the mansion. So the mansion has, in its day, seen a lot of death. The mansion has 21 spirits that I've counted so far or encountered so far. It was a family home to a man called Thomas Smith, and his wife, Mary, and their 11 children. His mother-in-law, who was also called Mary, she came to stay there until she passed away. After that family had sold the property, the Order of Divine Word, which was a group of Catholic priests, they took over the property after World War II. They were supposed to retire there after serving in World War II, but they turned it into a school for boys to become priests. So with that comes a lot of activity because, I mean, we've all had the stories of old convents or seminaries, things like that. Woodlands does have a few tales of that time, as everyone's heard about, you know, the Catholic stories of Catholic schools. So it has a few terrible tales, but also a few nice tales as well during that time period. There's a few deaths during that time period as well. And then after that, it went on to be a camp for Ipswich Boys' Grammar. So Ipswich Boys' Grammar owned it as well. And then it became the wedding venue that it is now. So now it's just used as a conference and wedding venue.
That's outstanding. I assumed that you must have found yourself out there at some point and kind of had this connection with the building.
Yeah, just randomly.
Yeah. I got that sense when you mentioned it before we originally spoke that I guess just with your background, I was assuming that if there was a particular spot that you were doing tours and I guess spending a lot of time at, I was assuming that there must be some sort of bond that you have with that location, which is really cool to hear, actually, as someone who, as I said, I'm not like a very sensitive person, but I kind of would like to be more open to that. But the fact of, you know, you could arrive somewhere and kind of get that history just from what you were kind of feeling and seeing, and then it all kind of working out that now you've obviously spent quite a lot of time there to have counted all those 20 some spirits and so on. And it's amazing too, that because you are out there as often as you are, like you would build up a rapport as well with those spirits, which is, you know, which is great for yourself, but also the guests who are on those tours, you know, because they're going to be better off actually, you know, experiencing something rather than, you know, it just being a random trying to, you know, make some sort of connection and kind of get them to perform in a sense. So I think that's such a cool part of everything that you kind of find yourself doing, you know, the house cleansings, the readings, and, you know, you're running these tours as well. I think that's so cool that you've pretty much fully embraced that side of you. And it sounds like a very interesting existence. You know, it's something that I love that kind of thing. So yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. It's never a dull moment. I never would have ever thought as a teenage girl that this is what would be the case. And still the things that come my way, I still think, what? This is crazy. but I go, nowadays I'm just like, all right, cool. I'm up for it. Let's go. The mansion is very much like that. The spirits are, I mean, and even the bad ones, there's some sort of rapport there. I feel like the main spirit of the home, which is actually Thomas, the man that built the home, he's the way he will interact and be quite cheeky, and it comes through, and it's pretty amazing. I hadn't, when I started talking to the guy that's running the place now about having tours there, we joke because he's quite terrible at getting back to people. He'll say, oh yeah, I'll get back to you at the end of the week, and it'll be 3 weeks later. And when I was waiting for him to get back to me, whether or not it was going to be a green light with me running the tours there, I was sitting there one night, I was thinking, look, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's not, that's fine. You know, what will be, will be. And then I woke, had a dream that night, and I woke up in the morning straight out of the dream, and I could remember everything. And it was that I was in the mansion back in 1890 sometime, and it was during Christmas time, and Thomas and his family had the home open up for a Christmas dinner. Everybody was there, beautiful dresses, the house all done up like it would have been back then. And he welcomed me in, and he introduced me to everybody in the house. He took me on a tour. He showed me things that were no longer on the property. And then when I was able to tell people about these things he showed me and that they were actually there in history books, that was quite cool. He also took me over to the township of Marburg. So after I woke up from that dream, I woke up and I was like, all right, I've got the job. I'm definitely running the tours there, because he wouldn't have welcomed me into his home like that if I wasn't. And then, no joke, that day I had the green light. So yeah, it's the rapport with spirit is something, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy how spirit can interact at times. And sometimes it still blows my mind.
I can imagine. Yeah, I'm sure it's something you never quite get completely used to, because there must just always be something where all of a sudden you're like, oh, this, yeah, you just must like catch yourself sometimes being like, it's pretty outstanding, you know. And also just the fact of, my understanding is like everyone has some ability, you know, whether or not they choose to lean into it, you know, actually spend the time, you know, I guess developing that sort of connection. But for the most part, yeah, people will never kind of get that insight. So, you know, someone like yourself, it's somewhat rare to the, you know, general sort of population, you know, you get these kinds of experiences daily, you know. It's something that you just kind of live your life with, you know. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is pretty much. And I do agree with you on that. I do think that everybody has abilities. And I also think as well, too, it is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes. The more you sit there and the more you're in tune with it, the stronger it becomes. It's like anything in life. The more you learn about it, the stronger it becomes. But I do, as human beings, we all are in tune with that side. Some are stronger than others because that's their life path, was to be that person, to communicate or to do something. And the amount of times I've been able to, so like even on my tours, being able to tap into these people, see that they have the ability to help themselves and say, hey, you know, have you ever envisioned a ball of white light around yourself? Have you ever spoken to your guardian angels and brought them, you know, basically. And then the amount of people that have said, oh yeah, I've done that before. Oh yeah. So the amount of people that already do it without even realizing that they do it, that they are a spiritual being, that they are tapped into their spiritual side, that they do have gifts and abilities, I always find really, really interesting as well. It definitely comes out during the tours, and the amount of people that see things during the tours, and they'll say to me, oh, I'm not that way inclined. But clearly, yes, you are, because you've just had a very big experience.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation, just getting to speak with someone. I think you're just being very open and honest about, you know, your whole sort of life experience, and just the idea that, you know, you're still learning like the rest of us, you know, like you don't have all the answers, but you're just trying to do your best to help others, and I guess just get more of a sense of, you know, what it actually means to be a medium. So yeah, I really enjoyed getting to speak with you, and it's just great knowing that there's other people within Australia, but let alone, you know, within sort of Queensland, Southeast Queensland, doing the great work that you're doing. So yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and speaking with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love the podcast. I'm a big fan, and keep doing what you're doing, because it's awesome. I love it. It's an awesome platform.
Well, there you go. There was my interview with Sarah Wright. I really enjoyed our conversation, and it's just great to get to connect with local people, as I kind of mentioned in the intro as well. It's actually really cool to get to do that. For the longest time, I only really ever spoke to international guests, and it's kind of amazing how many Australians I've been able to interview in the last sort of 12 months. You know, I feel like I've finally kind of broken into my own home market, funny enough, but it was, yeah, really interesting to kind of hear Sarah's perspective on the work that she does. So as I mentioned, Sarah's link is in the description. Her Instagram is The Gift of Knowing. So if you're after a reading, definitely go hit her up over there and I'm sure she can accommodate whatever you need. And of course, if you've enjoyed this episode of Paranormal Thoughts, please make sure you subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, check us out on Facebook and Instagram. There's the private Facebook group as well. Just type in Paranormal Thoughts Podcast into Facebook and you'll be able to join it. And of course, if you ever want to reach out to me as well, you can email me at paranormalthoughtspodcast@gmail.com or you can send me a message on Facebook or Instagram as well. I always enjoy hearing from you guys, especially if you have something that you might want to actually share on the podcast as well. Definitely hit me up and we can see what we can do. And with that, thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope to catch you in another podcast episode really soon. Thanks. Bye.